The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Check out our current deals at DiscountTire.com or stop in and talk to an associate today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for.
Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Welcome to your Celtic State of Mind bulletin, where every Wednesday you do get a middle-aged, tone-deaf man giving you his warbling musings, a foot charging you £47 for the privilege. As usual on a Wednesday night, I'm joined by John Hughes Jr. John, how are you getting on?
I'm very well, Kev, but I thought you were going to be talking about me there, but as soon as you said middle age, I thought, not unless I live to 104, but... So, no, it's not me.
It's not you. It's a wee nod to Ian Brown, who's been getting a bit of abuse this week because he turned up in front of a batting band and £47. But seemingly he smashed Glasgow and Edinburgh the last two nights. So good for him, good for the Brownie. Solidarity with Brownie.
Did he not come out? To be fair, did he not come out as a lunatic during?
Anybody that's been following his career very, very closely, like I have, would already know that that sort of conspiracy theory stuff was already in there, eh?
I just thought it was worth mentioning.
Just to let everybody know, I've just been to the dentist and I've got a jag and my mouth is very, very sore. So if everybody thinks that my mouth's drooping at that side, it is. But then I get worried. But I might, my pronunciations might be even worse than usual. So I just thought I would give you all a warning there. Please like and subscribe and do the usual stuff. Remember, vote for us in the Football Content Awards. Vote for Axon, Best Video Creator, and vote for Natasha as well for her work that she does with the women's football. Already in the comments, John, everybody's going, what's the elephant in the room? What is the elephant in the room?
Oh, it remains to be seen. Keep on listening and you'll find out.
Yes. Ewan Boy Martin, who's appeared, elephant in the room.
And by the way, before you start being funny in the comments, no, it's not me.
Well, I think Paddy already got there. Eh? There's no reason to talk about Chris Boyd. I think he's already got there. And I'm not even going to try Tahig.
I hope the elephant
isn't Tahig. There you go. So isn't negative. It's just something that
it's just interesting.
Extremely interesting. And yeah, it's funny that we spoke about Ian Brown, because some folk might actually think we go doing a conspiracy theory route here. Which is,
only facts, Kev, only facts.
Only facts.
Yeah.
Right. Let's go straight into the elephant in the room. Let's go straight into the elephant in the room. Let's go into what you called to me when you gave me that wee voice WhatsApp message, hyper-doping. I was thinking to myself, this hyper-doping is no something that we used to do behind the bike sheds at Bannockburn High School. So I'll let you start.
Okay, so this story is in three parts, basically, excuse me, everyone, I did sort of say to Kev, if I'm going to cover this, it's going to be a wee bit of a monologue, it's a bit of a Jack and Ori, but I think it's worth it, so bear with me. It's basically, it's a doping-related story, and it definitely has relation to us specifically in a couple of ways. So the first part of it is basically, so I was looking at certain things within football, and we're in an international break, so I just thought I'd delve into a few things. So I started looking into a relatively old story, the facts of which are now pretty well established within football. And other sports, there is an issue of almost legal abuse of stimulants and medicines, which is dangerous, unethical, and in many cases, definitely cheating. So you'll have seen this a couple of years ago. It got a fair amount of traction because of the an EPL team seemed to be very heavily involved in it. So we started looking at this hyperdosing. So it's hyperdosing on caffeine, and in combination with the hyperdosing on caffeine, the abuse of TUEs, which are therapeutic exemption certificates. Now, you'll remember that they were sort of very famously exposed with the likes of Bradley Wiggins. So essentially what a therapeutic exemption certificate means is you have been diagnosed with an illness, and it just so happens the medications for that illness are performance-enhancing drugs. So it's legal doping, effectively.
And this was the same Bradley Wiggins who was pictured in a 1997 Rangers top very, very recently.
Well, I couldn't speak to that. There's more than one connection there, let me say. So the hyperdosing in caffeine is now, it's a well-known and still legal, it is still legal technique to maximise performance. It started coming to light with the likes of Jamie Vardy and so on out talking about it. So it's incredibly dangerous for the athletes given the strain it puts on the heart. And it can only be maintained in 2 or 3 year cycles, which is why there was talk that Liverpool wouldn't be able to maintain their form, for instance, last year or the year before, essentially. But what you're doing is you're basically, it's like 4 Red Bulls and a double espresso and, some food with caffeine in it before a game or whatever. Now, you might think that is... it's not really performance enhancing. It is, but it's marginal gains, right? So it's not illegal. but it's definitely performance enhancing. But if you maintain that over a season, it's very damaging to the athlete. Now, the therapeutic exemption certificates I've just mentioned and how those are deeply unethical, because first of all, a doctor has to diagnose you with something. So that doctor, if you don't have that condition, that doctor is, you know, engaged in, at the very least, deeply unethical practices.
For example, there, John, I'm diagnosed as a asthmatic.
Yeah,
right? Okay. So I get asthmatic quite bad in the summer because I get quite asthmatic. So because it's allergic asthma, yeah. I've got a steroid inhaler. So yeah. That's the type of stuff that you're.
It would be the and you'd be one of like 12%, Kev, of, you know, the population. That's, you know, that would be the average in a group of people. Unlike, for instance, Liverpool squad in 2020. Of the 35 players in the squad, 63% of them were asthmatic, apparently. 63%. That's an astonishing number. And that's where it really became an issue that people were taking note of. And a lot of people will have heard of it before. So asthma drugs are corticosteroids, which are fast-acting and loosening up the muscles around the airways. But I was talking to a doctor about this. It depends on the doses, and again, it's a marginal gains thing, but it depends on the doses. But certainly, if you are not taking an inhaler, but if you are able to take oral corticosteroids, mm-hmm. they're basically steroids, and they will have you, doing far more for far longer. They are only supposed to be diagnosed, for instance, if you had a very, very serious asthma attack, they'd be diagnosed for that. But we don't know how often these guys are having very, very serious asthma attacks for which they need oral steroids. But anyway, it allows you to breathe easier. And it's similar to EPO, which is stimulates red blood cell production, and that gives more blood to the muscles. And that's very, very common in cycling and also very common in football. And that can be deadly, as I say, is common. And this is the thing about the elephant in the room. It's just not talked about. And you'll come on to see more of what I'm getting at here. It's not talked about in football. It's just basically ignored, swept under the carpet. So the Liverpool connection then begged a lot of other questions, which some people on Twitter might remember from a couple of years ago, whether that caffeine cycling and the fairly clear abuse of therapeutic exemption certificates that we saw at Liverpool had come up the road, along with certain members of the Liverpool team at that time. Jordan Milsom is someone who followed Steven Gerrard up the road, and his previous job at Liverpool for 8 years was rehabilitation fitness coach. So he'd be well-versed in the methods used at Liverpool, and he is now the performance guy at Rangers, and still is. So that was interesting, but there's no way for us to know who's using that, because there's no way to get access to that information. We can't tell who's using that. But it is interesting that it was used down there. Was it used up here? I don't know. We can only congratulate Rangers on their levels of overperformance in the last couple of years. So congratulations to them for that. Anyway, that's all saying about that.
The thing is, though, John, Daniel Brown comes in here and he's making a decent point. You're saying it's unethical, but it's not illegal. So they are within the rules of doing it. We're not talking about Dolph Lundgren and Rocky Ford when he's up getting injected with whatever he's getting injected, but he go and fight Sylvester Stallone.
Not yet. Bear with me. It gets better. Again, with that point, the hyperdosing of caffeine is legal, completely legal, right? That's fine. You want to put your heart under that much strain, that's fine. As I say, it can't be maintained and it's only in a 2 or 3 year cycling. The abuse of therapeutic exemption certificates is not legal. Now, if you have been diagnosed with something that you do not have for purposes of enhancing your performance. That is not legal. Now, it was difficult to prove, which is why, you know, there was a sort of, you know, the scandal around Wiggins and other people. You know, it gets right into the nitty gritty of, you know, let's see your medical records, let's get into this. So it's very difficult to prove, but that is not legal. Right. Now, a therapeutic exemption certificate legally held for something that you have had and have had historically, that's fine. You can take drugs, basically, that would otherwise would be performance enhancing. But this is the bit that got more interesting, and you do need to bear with me here because there is a bit of a story, but I think the payoff is worth it. So the guy that was writing about this, and this is how I get into this story, is a guy called Alan Moore, who is a Russian-based sports journalist, and he covered a lot of the questions around drugs and sport, and specifically in football. So at one point, he's an athlete himself, and he was transitioning back from playing football to boxing, and he was invited by a Bundesliga team to a training camp in Austria. And during this second day, he couldn't speak the language, so, you know, he had someone translating for him. A fella came in who didn't really introduce himself, and told him he'd made, you know, he put him on a program that would make him lighter, faster, stronger. And he was absolutely over the moon because he had to drop weight and, you know, do whatever he needed to. However, the next day, in the first day of the actual training program, and he was immediately asked to take an injection. And he refused until he knew what was in it, and they refused to tell him what was in it. And after an argument, he left the camp. And a few years later, he was working with Eintracht Frankfurt. And their manager at that time, George Berger, and Alan told him the story, and he recognised the man in the story right away. And apparently, he'd had a lucky escape. The man he met in Austria was the architect of possibly one of the greatest sporting crimes in history, as he constructed the state-sponsored East German doping project. And the Frankfurt manager had crossed swords with him in the German Democratic Republic and described him as pure evil. His name is Bernd Pansold, and let me read you his Wikipedia page. So, Bernd Pansold was a German doctor and practitioner of sports medicine. From 68 to 90, he was a team doctor of East German sports club SC Dynamo Berlin, and from 71 was an unofficial member of the East German Ministry for State Security, the Stasi, right, under the alias Jürgen Wendt. After the reunification of Germany, Pansold worked for Austrian Sports Centre as a medic for all winter sports athletes in 1998. He was convicted by a German court for the doping of underage persons in 9 cases. So extrapolating from that, he's doped thousands and thousands and thousands of people, but they could only get him on the underage ones because they couldn't give consent. He was then released from his position by the Austrian Ski Association. And since 2003, he has been in another job as director of a diagnostic and training centre. Now, this is a man who constructed the East German state doping system, which took poor people in desperate states in communist Germany and essentially forcibly injected them and gave them all sorts of stuff that was absolutely horrific. I don't know if you remember a couple of athletes from around that time. I remember Kratochilova, the 800-metre runner. She looked more like a man than a woman. So it was a remarkable state of affairs. These people were being desperately, desperately abused by the state system. He was responsible for that. He was a man described as pure evil by a fellow manager, and he was fined for doping underage people, right? This man is the diagnostic and training centre director for Red Bull, right? He covers Red Bull. So he covers Red Bull Leipzig, Salzburg, and anyone else in that. So the man creating the programmes for these players that we're up against. Now, you know, you can't obviously accuse him of anything because he could well be the first leopard ever to get a full spot transplant. But That to me was absolutely shocking. Shocking that he is in charge of the athletes under Red Bull, and specifically, you know, the team that we are going to be playing twice here coming up. This man is a criminal. You know, he's already been convicted. He is a criminal, and far worse than that, the things they did under that state system that he constructed in East Germany were horrific, absolutely horrific crimes against humanity. So, you know, this is what I thought was absolutely shocking. Now, you cannot... Now, apparently he's been working with people, American athletes, and none of them have been caught and so on and so forth. I would just remind everyone of the lengths to which people will go to, and especially someone is heavily involved in that. I don't know if you remember the Balco Labs scandal, where the FBI raided a laboratory on a tip back in 2003. That's when Dwayne Chambers was caught, and Marion Jones, the sprinter, and Shane Mosley, and Barry Bonds, and they were all caught because that laboratory was producing a thing called THG, which is a steroid that nobody had ever heard of, which didn't exist. So nobody could test for it because they had created it. And these guys were all sailing through their tests, right? So that's one thing, if you think this isn't a problem. Now, the other thing that sort of shocked me then was I was coming on to the situation in Scotland, and I was thinking, nobody ever talks about doping in football here. I don't remember having a conversation about it, so I thought I'd just check a few things. So the testing is carried out by the UK anti-doping company. They are funded by the government and by the English FA. The SFA do not pay into the system. So unsurprisingly, this means that UCAD divert their limited resources where they are most needed. In other words, England. And when asked directly why they didn't think Scotland was a risk area, the reply was, well, if you think it's a risk, you should pay for the tests, right? The things I found out that really were shocking, and I could only get figures up until 2018-19, couldn't get any other information after that. The first thing is you're considering the number of tests in a season. In 2017, there was no tests, none, not a single one in Premiership football. So that to me was shocking. The thing that's really bad, there is no out-of-season testing. None. How can there be no out-of-season testing? If you look at any other sport, the majority of the testing happens out-of-season because that's when most people are trying to get away with it. That's when you're trying to build up. Scottish football, as of a couple of years ago, has no out-of-season testing. You finish the season, you go and whack yourself full of whatever you want and then jog back to the start of the season. Absolutely shocking. Now, in the five-year period that I discovered there was a Freedom of Information request for that, the highest number of tests in that five-year period was in 2018. That was 87. And this is after the SFE agreed to fund additional tests. So that's additional tests. If you take the number of games in just the league, that means there was only an 8% risk of being caught. There's a 92% chance you're getting away with it, right? So, and just for more of an interest, there was 19 tests in the Championship. That's 1.78% chance of getting caught. 12 tests in League One, 1.11% chance of getting caught. 0 tests in League Two, right? So in terms of hyper-dosing, that's an interesting thing if you're down in England. England, during the equivalent period last year, for instance, had 1,000 tests in the Premiership, right? 1,000. Now, the only reason you wouldn't just flat-out cheat in Scotland is because of UEFA. So if your team is playing in European competition, you will be tested by UEFA, potentially. But even there... Even there, the chances of you, only 23.36% chance of you getting tested. And that is if that 23.36 chance of you getting tested, that's if your team starts in the qualifying rounds, at the very first stage of the qualifying rounds, and wins the Champions League. That's how many games I was including in that. And if you include the games for the other two as well, that all covers that. So the other two competitions as well. 23.36% chance of getting tested. Now, bear in mind, you have virtually no chance of getting tested or found guilty in Scotland. You have a 23% chance of getting tested in Europe. And that's if you are making it blindingly obvious. That's if you've got hypodermics hanging out of you, you know, or lines of stuff going up your nose. That's how obvious you need to be. If you're making proper attempts to mask it, you know, there's a good chance you'll be getting away with it. And for anyone who thinks this is not an issue because people aren't getting caught, that's because they're not being tested. And if they are being tested, it's a pathetic level of testing. And if you don't think people are taking steroids or other drugs, you've never been to a gym. There's lads down the road in the gym I go to who are up to their eyeballs in steroids just to get their disco muscles pumped for the weekend. They're not in competition to do anything. They're not competing with anything. They're not trying to win anything. And they're still on the steroids. And you know, there's a bodybuilder, a semi-professional bodybuilder down in the gym where I am as well, just one of those, you know, freaky-looking fellas. Now he's got to be up to his eyeballs in steroids, right? And the most he ever wins at a competition is a few hundred quid. So he's not doing it for that reason. You know, if you think when there's millions of pounds at stake or hundreds of thousands of pounds at stake, people aren't taking drugs, you are deluded. Those athletes that we're talking about, like the Dwayne Chambers, Marion Jones and all the stuff like that, they can't make anywhere near the amount of money a top-level football player can make. Not even near it. So if you think that you know, that people wouldn't take it for that, you know, because they're good folk and all the rest of it, it's madness.
But let's, like, more than football clubs, they're all into sports science and stuff like that. And I'm not going to, I'm not going to, like, no, say that Celtic are, even Celtic are trying to get wee inches here and there with supplements and all of that, right? And that is a wider issue. I think it's a wider issue is that it's a sport that's inherently corrupt and they didn't want to have a look at this stuff because they're all just interested in making money. And we can all go on, we can all look at teams and go, oh, they never get injuries, we didn't get any injuries. And sometimes I hear, like, folk going like that to us. We didn't get any injuries, or we blame injuries on Barrafield or Lennox Town or something like that, eh? But it's all getting done to sports science. And we're talking about small things here, eh? But until, like, something is proved illegal, John, this is all just sort of like hearsay. I can defer a few extensions are illegal, but as you say, there's crooked doctors. There's crooked doctors everywhere. Eh? There's enough money involved.
You're conflating the two issues, though, because one of them is the hyperdosing, right? And that's fine. That's marginal stuff, but that's not what the story is. The story is here, the first story was about your man who is like a monster of a human who is in charge of Red Bull. The second part of that was you can properly cheat in Scotland. You can properly cheat. You don't need to be hyperdosing. If your team's not in Europe, there's almost no chance you're getting caught. And if you're in the lower leagues, there's absolutely no chance you're getting caught. You can be taking steroids. You can be taking whatever you want, because you're not going to get caught. The chances of you getting caught are infinitesimally small. You're not going to get caught based on those percentages. So, you know, this isn't a case of, you know, hyperdosing. This is, I'm talking about actual cheating. So if you're in anywhere below the European clubs in the Premiership, for instance, there's 8% chance of you getting caught. There's 92% chance you're getting away with it. You can be filling yourself full of steroids. You can be filling yourself full of EPO. You can be filling yourself full of whatever you want. There's virtually no chance you get caught. And if you're telling me that for wages that are in the hundreds of thousands. People won't do that. I'm telling you, you're incorrect. You know, you can get clean away with proper cheating here. That's my point. And even if you are, with a club that's playing in Europe, there's still only a 23% chance of getting caught. You know, and once I looked into it, that apparently there are acknowledged programs, you know, sort of dodgy, you know, healing hands program of, I think it was Bayern Munich and Juve had a program called such and such and all the rest of it, otherwise acknowledged to be, you know, on the dodgy side of legit. So, you know, what I'm talking about, the hyperdosing thing is interesting. It's marginal gains. It's possibly unethical if you're getting incorrectly diagnosed, which people clearly are abusing those. That's fine. That's one thing. But you don't need to do that in Scotland. You can just cheat. You can just actually cheat. Do you know what I mean? That's my point. So it's not something that we talk about. But the zero tests in a year, Kev, 2017, zero tests. Now, you tell me that's acceptable. No, and no testing out of season.
It's just pointing out what I've always said about the guys who run the game in Scotland. I wouldn't let them go to the shop for me because these guys are meant to be like self-made millionaires and that. But like, I wouldn't let them go to the shop for me. And when you come back to it, it's like, it's going to be going on, of course. Yeah. The amount of recreational drugs that are probably flying about in Scotland as well is. Everybody knows a story about a footballer that's been out, blah, 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 and they've seen him doing this and that. Everybody knows stuff like that. And it's maybe no something that people are taking serious, but then if you, the way I'm looking at it here, this is maybe a strange way of looking at it, going, well, if you can get away with it, why are St Mirren so rubbish? Why are Hart so rubbish? Why are Aberdeen so rubbish? Yeah. If you can actually get away with it. And look, the guy shouldn't be anywhere near Red Bull. That boy shouldn't be anywhere near Red Bull. That is Hingley. But it is it's a sport wide problem that Scotland doesn't take seriously, and Scotland doesn't take money hangs seriously. No matter,
well, they don't take it seriously. The Scots game. They definitely don't take it seriously, and you know. It's absolutely outrageous when you think about it, the amount of money that's involved. When you think of athletes that would cheat for a fraction of the money. You think of cyclists that would cheat for a fraction of the money. You know, people will do what they need to do to get to the next level. That is a competitive mindset, you know. And these people are all top athletes, regardless of which field they're in. And they will do whatever they have to do for the most part to get to the next level. Not all of them, obviously, you know. But it got to the point in cycling, whereas, you know, the accepted situation was our steroided up guy beat your steroided up guy. And it was a level playing field because they were all on drugs, right? That's how it was a level playing field. But where some people are and some people aren't, it needs to be taken seriously. UEFA, at that level of testing, isn't taking it particularly seriously at all. The Scottish FA, that's farcical. That's absolutely farcical. They don't even pay. They're paying for a few extra tests. They weren't even paying into the system. Absolutely farcical. And no testing out of season, which is when, you know, 3 out of 5 tests will happen because everyone, that's when you go. You know, so that means even, you know, if you are a player in a top club in Scotland, you could go out of season. As I said before, you could take whatever you want. No one's going to be coming round and testing. As long as it's cleared up for the start of the start of the new season, Bob's your uncle. And even if it isn't cleared up for the start of the new season, you've only got like an 8% chance of getting tested.
Aye.
You know, well, it is farcical.
It is farcical, but then when the SFA never been?
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for.
Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
This week on The Marketer's Report, Patrizio Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct-to-Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on building trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all, every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the data you need to grow. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Nothing but farcical. Yeah. We'll bring in some of the commenters here Jerry Talia, this is 4 a.m. some random kitchen chat. The best chats are in kitchens at 4 a.m. Jenny. All the chats are Robert Little. I missed the start, but are we saying Rangers won the league because of cans of Vidbull? Surely not. We were rotten. Yes, Robert, we were totally and utterly rotten that season. It was nothing to do with cans of Vidbull and stuff like that. Ryan Kelly. Didn't know Axel had Dr. Hillary for ITV on today, Johnny. So that's the thing with there. And Carl N. If Dundee United are on drugs, I didn't want any of it. That's a great point. John, the international break's finished now. The international break's done and dusted.
Happy days.
Right. Serious word. I'm going to have a serious word about anybody in the comments. Anybody in the comments starts saying that Jack Hendry and Ryan Portis are good enough for Celtic, I'm barring these. I'm not having any of that. I'm not having any of that today. They had one decent game last night. They done well. But let's not run away from ourselves. International chat, the media are building us up that we've got an injury crisis, John. Players who have injured or have been sent home injured or meant to be falling apart. Haskabanovic, David Turnbull, Aaron Moy, Dyson Maeda, Yorgos Giakoumakis, Greg Taylor, even though he actually played 70-odd minutes last night, Leo Abada, Cameron Carter-Vickers and Starfelt. Obviously, Cameron Carter-Vickers didn't play for the USA. So some Celtic fans and the media are getting themselves in a little bit of a tizz that we're going to have an injury crisis. For me, that is absolute rubbish. We will only have an injury crisis because basically, we've got a big enough squad. And no matter what happened in the last game, we've still got a good enough squad. And we've still got a squad that would walk into the majority of the domestic game. So flapping about, for me, is no warranted whatsoever.
Well, we just need to get to the January transfer window, Kev, when we can sign Porteous and Hendry. to take over. just see, you're going to ban people in the chat, but yeah, I'm here. You can't ban me yet. So
I can remove you, mate. I can remove you. No problem.
There they are. Yeah, sensational. Actually, I'm not in a position to discuss because. I'm afraid I'm one of those that's Celtic football, and I might watch a bit of the international if there's nothing else on, but I don't watch them. The bits I did see were just I noticed a couple of people talking about Hendry, but I've had this discussion before when Hendry was playing well for Scotland. And nobody seemed to think he was good enough for Celtic even then. Or when he was playing well in Belgium, people still didn't think he was good enough for Celtic even then. Portis, I don't know enough about him other than playing against him. I did notice Natasha tweeted last night they had a very good last gasp tackle at one point. Fair play to the lad. If he's come in, he's done well. He's a young guy. You can only hope he goes on and improves. In terms of us getting people back, I don't know what the injury list is going to be because it's fluctuating from day to day in terms of what people are saying. You had Frank McAvaney in the paper yesterday saying he'd been told that Cameron Vickers was out for quite some time. Like, you're talking about a number of weeks here, which would be absolutely terrible if he's out for all the Leipzig games. So that's not ideal. You know, and again, if Starfelt's out as well, that leaves us with, you know, Jens and Welsh at the back. And I'm not concerned about Motherwell, but I'm very concerned about Leipzig if that's our centre half pairing. You know, and no harm to them. Stephen's a good player. I think he could be a very good player, but at this point, he's not good enough. And it's not even a matter of not good enough. Our first choice pairing are out. So clearly the second choice pairing are not the preferred option. In terms of the creative, I see that Hatate was managed to come through pretty much unscathed, so that's good. Callum McGregor is unscathed, so that's good, and apparently played very well last night. Now, O'Reilly I saw get taken off for the Denmark under-21s, so I don't know his status. And in terms of up front, Kyogo, I think, is unharmed. So at least that's something. Jota, as we know, will be unharmed. So at least that's something. So how many people, technically speaking, are we actually potentially missing from the squad that you would put out? You know, we might be a bit short on the right if Abada's injured. You know, and Maeda is definitely injured by the looks of it. I don't know Abada's status. But again, you know, we have Abada there. We have James Forrest can come in and do a job. You know, that would still give us a front line of Kyogo, Jota and Forrest, which, you know, is two-thirds of what you'd be looking for. And the midfield could be two-thirds of what you'd be looking for. The defence, well, ideally be half of what you're looking for, but, you know, against Motherwell, that shouldn't be significant. I don't think the defence is the issue. Much like against St Mirren, I think the issue is going forward. From the midfield onwards, we need to be more direct, we need to be faster. The passing needs to be with more purpose and, you know, fewer touches, all that sort of thing. It's been covered in depth. But at the end of the day, you know, should we be worried about Motherwell? No, I think the guys now who are in this team have a point to prove. They have a very significant point to prove if they want to play in Europe in the following couple of weeks. They have to come back and show the manager what they're made of. The manager will have been very annoyed and very disappointed after St Mirren. He's not going to have forgotten about that. He's not going to be forgotten about the guys who he gave a chance to and who let him down. So he wouldn't have forgotten about that. You know, so these boys, some of them are Jake's in a shaky nail if they're looking to get anywhere near Europe. So, you know, they have to come in and give a serious performance here. So I'm expecting, you know, there's potentially here, I'd like to think they come in and just blow Motherwell away. And I really want Kyogo to get on the score sheet and have a good game. He seems to be lacking in confidence. He's not been playing particularly well. He got hooked for Japan as well. I see, you know, he's trying, but he's just not, you know, the end product isn't there at the moment. So I really, really would like to see him getting back on the score sheet. I think Jackie Mack is going to be injured for this one by all accounts, but it's, again, that's not clear.
It's not clear yet. Gus Poyet came out and says he very much doubt they would make it for the weekend. The usual Graeme Souness Rangers trick, that, eh? When the Rangers players used to mysteriously get injured before playing for Scotland and all of a sudden they would play at the weekend. So maybe Gus Poyet's just trying to cover his back. Crash Awesome comes in, this was talked about yesterday. We have 13 games in 43 days. How many do you think Kyogo will turn up in? John, you says last week that you didn't think Kyogo was playing well. I think a couple of games have passed him by. I actually watched the first half of the Japanese game yesterday and it was absolutely dreadful, truthfully. A dreadful game of football, and Kyogo got took off, but they could have took off any of the other 10 outfield players, truthfully, because it wasn't a very decent game of football. I think sometimes the game can bypass Kyogo until he turns up and does what he needs to actually do. But I think that's the way our centre-forwards actually play. I just think there's been a massive overreaction to the defeat to St Mirren, to the level of the quality that we actually have in the squad. It was an absolutely horrific game against St Mirren. Horrific. It was horrible. Of 16 players involved, 17 players at Wold were absolutely terrible. But I think we make wild like assumptions and rash judgments and conclusions about players after they get beat. And I think Postecoglou had a great wee slight dig at us when he was away flying to Australia at the start of the week there to actually promote the John Joe Kenny Cup. And he was saying that I had to get out of the country because we had lost our first game in a year. I mean, what some were actually saying on the channel before and other channels and all Celtic media, this was the best squad we've had at years. Next thing you came, we get beat off St Mirren at the New Love Street, whatever, and we're all saying, rip it up and start it again, we're all rubbish. I just think, calm down, mate. Just calm down. We have got a decent enough squad. And even if these guys have got niggles and stuff like that, we've still got players to come in. I mean, Jake comes in. Is it Jake? Sorry, Jake. I will get to you, Jake. Don't worry. I will get to you. Did I take the comments off? I'm having a mare. I think I did. Right, I'll bring up Jake. Welsh and Jens miles behind Starfelt, let alone CCV. I think the bigger miss out of this is Cameron Carter-Vickers. If you watch Stephen Welsh with Cameron Carter-Vickers, Stephen Welsh has actually done extremely well for Celtic. Yeah. There was guys in the comments, and that was the comments I want to bring up, but I don't think I've starred them, so apologies. Chilpull was one of them. Chilpull, I do remember. He asked the question, is Stephen Welsh better than Ryan Porteous? I want to get what I'm going to say. Yes, he is better than Ryan Porteous because he's at Celtic and Ryan Porteous isn't he? Uh-huh. That's it. Come on, comes in and carries on the Stephen Welsh passion here. Isn't good enough, sorry, but he's not. He's the fourth choice centre half at Celtic. He's the fourth choice centre half at Celtic. And there's a reason that he's a fourth choice centre-half at Celtic. And there's a reason that Cameron Carter-Vickers is the first choice centre-half at Celtic. There is a hierarchy here. And Stephen Welsh, for me, is a decent fourth choice centre-half at Celtic.
I saw someone there saying, Jens and Welsh are miles behind Starfelt and CCV. Well, do you remember the abuse that Starfelt was getting? You know what I mean? And Starfelt, to me, still has a mistake in him every game. It just depends on whether they score off the back of it. But he still has a mistake in him every game. Other than that, his performances are great. But that mistake is regular. You know, so let's not, be beatifying guys who are out injured. Jens has been playing well, in my view, hasn't been responsible for much at all. Stephen Welsh made one mistake in one of the rare games he's got to play. He made one mistake, against St Mirren. So, other than that, he is a beautiful distributor of the ball. He is a solid player, and I have no problems with him at all at SPFL level. Europe's a different matter. But, he's not really been given the opportunity to improve on that because, essentially he hasn't really had any game time. He might never get the game time is the thing, So he does have a physical issue in as much as he's just not as tall as you'd want your centre-halves to be. But Cameron Carter-Vickers isn't exactly an imposing presence height-wise. He is solid now. He's a tank of a man, but he's not imposing height-wise. So, we have, you're talking about people reacting wildly. All you need to do is look at Twitter after any defeat or even after any victory. You say one thing about a player, someone else will be going to say the exact opposite. So people have wild, opinions all the time. It's just the nature of the beast now. We get to see more of them than we used to, but there are some wild opinions out there, and especially when people take against a particular player, they just wait for, the guy will be on fire for 6 months and then has a bad half hour. Next, there'll be a comment up saying, oh, he's garbage.
He's rubbish.
He's garbage, So I saw someone on there. There's more of them, actually, people talking about Kyogo. Kyogo's had quite a few games. He's still top of the scoring charts, isn't he? He's still got six, I think, top of the scoring charts. He's had quite a few games. Am I going to just start saying Kyobo is rubbish? That doesn't mean he's rubbish. It means he's in a quiet few games. That means he's not in particularly great form. That doesn't mean he's rubbish. Doesn't make him an overrated player. Doesn't make him a poor player. You know, so Ryan, you know, the people doing that just need to. Come on.
I know. I mean, this is what I'm talking about: being utterly wild and sniffing your sister's socks, man. I mean, that is like a terrible, terrible comment, which is not factually backed up whatsoever by what we've actually seen over the last year. So come on, Ryan. Unless you're a Rangers interloper, I think you're on the wrong podcast, mate. I really do.
That's a bad one. You're sniffing your sister's socks, that's dreadful.
But that's what I'm on about. And I know what Paddy Laverty and all of that are saying. But when I mentioned Dan's comment, I think he was joking, Kev. Peter comes in and says that comment was tongue in cheek. Monty, don't think Ange aimed the comment at us that he had to leave the country because he had lost a game in the year. I took it as a kind of wee hangway that he's already spoke about. If you lose a game, it's a big, big, massive thing.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
It's the Marketer's Report. This week, Patrizia Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct to Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on the difficult task of building and retaining consumer trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent. The best thing for us to do is to build a relationship with our consumers. And if those consumers have a relationship with the DJs that are on air, then we want to build on that. House of the Dragon, which was one of our most successful, if not the most successful campaign we've ever done for a show, audio was a core part of that.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. Not just a media company, iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
And the Celtic fan culture, it's a massive thing, and it's he understands that pressure, but what we need to understand as fans is we are going to lose games of football. It's going to happen. But that doesn't mean, I think it's the rash conclusions like Ryan the Celt comes in here because Kyogo's had a quiet couple of weeks, he's now utterly garbage.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. I mean, I must admit, we could actually say the same about Yorgos Yakimakis. I don't think he's been too great. He starts still back up.
Yeah.
He's still contributing.
Yeah, well, you could argue that Yakimakis has been worse because he's had more clear-cut chances and hasn't put them away. Now, he created a couple of those chances, but he still didn't put them away. My concern with Kyogo is that despite all he's running about, what was so fantastic about him last year was he was always getting in positions. He was just always making a move that people weren't expecting or hadn't anticipated or were too slow to react to, and he was in. And we haven't seen that in the last few games. He hasn't been doing the unexpected, or he hasn't been anticipating moves. He's been in pretty standard positions, and he's basically been marked out of it. So that's been disappointing. But Yakimakis isn't finishing well. So if you want to have a conversation. The conversation is about what we said last week. My concern is that neither of our centre forwards are in great form. That's why I would like to see Kyogo getting on the score sheet.
But the bottom line is they're there to score goals, and the stats that they've had at the start of the season say, well, they are scoring goals. We're just basing that on our last run out where we were utterly rotten. Everybody was utterly rotten. It doesn't really matter how we created nothing. and we got deservedly nothing out of the game.
I would be basing it on the last three, Kev. So you're looking at the last three games that we had, and you know that, you know, admittedly, you know, best team in the world, you know, European game away, and then you know St Mirren. But you know you're basing it on that. That you know it's not been ideal in terms of you know just the showing for the centre forwards in particular. What Giakoumakis had chances, created chances, should have buried chances, and didn't. I can't remember. I remember because I wrote down all the chances. You'll remember last week that we had against Shakhtar. I can't remember how many Kyogo were involved in, but you know, not that many as far as I remember off the top of my head. So, you know, the best thing Kyogo probably did in that game was not touch the Hatate shot as it rolled into the net, because it would have been offside. So, you know, it's not ideal. What I'm saying, look, you know, it's early in the season. We need to get these guys, you know, a bit more confidence and back on form. Once you start banging in the goals again, the confidence makes all the difference. I know it's an old cliche, but it's a fact, especially a fact with people who are finishing, because it has to be instinctive. It has to be reactive in a lot of occasions, and that comes with the confidence. And you have to be, you know, and when you are presented with, you know, a chance to think about it and make a clinical finish, you have to not doubt yourself. All of that is about confidence. So we need these guys to, it's a real pity that Giakoumakis is injured, but I definitely want Kyogo on. I want Kyogo on that pitch at the weekend until he scores. Right? I don't want him taken off. I want him on the pitch until he scores. And I don't care if it's a tap-in. I want him on the score sheet because he needs to be the main man going into these next couple of very, very important games.
It does look like that he's going to be the main man coming into the next couple of games. Mina actually says at the start of the season that, again, like, I think Kyogo would score more goals in Europe than Giakoumakis, just because of the style, when the more, like, he would get more space in Europe. But that obviously that has to prove to be the case, because we've only scored one goal. But hey, there's still time yet for that to actually change. And Giakoumakis might be injured for the weekend. But what we're actually having a look at is, I mean, a couple of weeks ago we were all shouting for Giakoumakis to come in. I'm actually quite worried that he is injured. And I'm not saying we haven't got the strength and depth to actually sort it out, and we have got the strength and depth to actually beat Motherwell. I'm just going, sometimes we need to mix it up, and not having Giakoumakis coming off the bench as one of the five subs is a problem at times, because he does give us that complete and utter different option. Out of all the names that there that could potentially be injured for Saturday, the only two that's making me go, are Cameron Carter-Vickers and Giakoumakis. That's the only two that I'm looking at that I'm really, really worried about.
No, I, Cameron Carter-Vickers, you know, you'd always be concerned about that one. But for both of those, I'm not concerned about the weekend. I'm concerned about Leipzig. I'm not concerned about the weekend. Because, look, you know, as long as Abada isn't injured, for talk's sake, you know, we have options to shuffle things around there. If Haksabanovic isn't injured, then we have options to shuffle things around there. If Kyogo isn't getting it done, that, you know, and he does have to come off, then, you know, we've played Abada up front before. You know, we can move people around. You know, we have lots of options depending on who's injured and who's not. We still have enough options to win that game. But for me, you know, the game will be won and lost as the St Mirren game was, in the midfield. You know, because everything drives from our midfield. So I'd want to see Callum McGregor back in his best position. And I'd want to see that midfield as close to our top three as possible. But the thing about having, you know, the depth of squad, you know, one of the things I think, you know, as I said last week, we have excellent players to come in. You know, we have excellent players to come into a good side, one or two or three, depending, you know, one in each, you know, let's say, you know, defence, midfield, the front, one or two changes potentially in each, but not an entire team as we tried to do against St Mirren. That's just too many, and it's too disruptive to the flow, it's too disruptive to the dynamic. So, you know, if we have to replace one guy in the midfield, I've got no problem with that, whether that's a Turnbull or a Moyer, whatever. No problem with the one guy getting replaced. Two of them getting replaced is an issue, as was clearly shown. Up front, you know, if you have to replace one guy, I think we've got enough to shuffle that round. In the defence, I still think our reserve centre-halves are more than good enough for the SPFL. That shouldn't have been a problem against St Mirren, because, you know, we should have been too busy pummeling their goal with the 80% possession that we had. So, you know, I don't think that's down to them. And, you know, we should never have been letting them press us the way that they were. It was just, it was a very, very bad game. And I don't think we're going to see that again. So I'm not concerned about the defence at this level. That centre-half pairing going into the European games would concern me greatly.
Of course, that would concern you going into the European games. Of course, yeah. It would. And you're not like belittling the two guys that having to go in there. It is just a matter of fact. There's a hierarchy, and you're losing your first choice centre half, and any other pairing after that is a downgrade, because your first choice centre half is not there. I was thinking about this when Ange Postecoglou was on the flight going to Sydney, or was it Melbourne? I think it was Sydney that he was going to. Well, he was flying back to Australia anyway. And after he's watched probably like the new Minions film, Their Eyes Are Grew, realised it's rubbish or something like that. So he started thinking about what would he have learned for the St Mirren game. And what I learned for the St Mirren game is you can't have a Celtic team without O'Reilly or Hatate in the starting lineup. One of them has got to start, and you can't replace the two of them. I think that's what's overall hindsight, because we're all absolute geniuses with hindsight. That the genius with hindsight is if you can't drop the two of them, one of them's got to play, because they give us that something different in the middle of the park. And what's probably also in hindsight, we still haven't got that Callum McGregor replacement yet.
No. Well, hopefully Abelgaard will get game time soon. Hopefully this is the game to do it. You'd like to think we could batter a few in the first half and then get some boys off, you know, and get game time into the legs of some guys that we're going to need going forward. And hopefully he is good enough to take the reins from Callum McGregor, because that's a big ask. Because, you know, when Callum McGregor is playing well, we play well. For the most part, so that's a big ask. But you know, as you said, and I think as I said last week, you know, against a very, very well organised physical side, you need creative spark. You need a bit of magic. You know, and again, as we said before, you know, the sort of Lennon Rodgers way of just passing it along the front, or passing it all around in circles in a U shape or a horseshoe shape until everyone falls asleep and loses the will to live, is not effective against teams that are digging in like that. And we had to watch it so often. You know, they park the bus and we just can't get through them. That's not been the case, you know, for a good while now. It's not been the case for a good while, because we were able to draw them out. We were able to get through them. But you need that bit of quality, because there isn't a big enough gap between people who are prepared to park the bus and be physical and be very, very well organised. There isn't a big enough gap between our players and their players. If the system isn't working, or we don't have any creative players in the side, you know. So for me, you can expect those kind of results if they're going to dig in and be very good. Now, to be fair, they were pretty lucky as well. They were very, very good. But, you know, we had 80% possession, should have done an awful lot more with it. But that just shows you how ineffective the system was on the day. You know, and again, I don't expect to see that happen at the weekend. I think we will get and should get a big performance. You know, I'm hoping some of these guys are going to be tearing up. I mean, Jota's going to be bursting because he hasn't got a game, you know. So I'm expecting to see some magic from him. I would love to see Haksabanovic not being injured, but I would also love it if... you know, even if Alex Banovic is fit, I don't want to see Jota on the right. I want to see him on the left, you know. And if Kyogo isn't doing well, play Haksabanovic in the middle, because that, we were told that's what he could do. He could play across the front three. Let's see it then. Let's have you, you know, and let's see if you can create some magic in that position. Because he looks like he could. He doesn't look like a completely you know, like if he wasn't playing on the left, he couldn't play. He looks a very creative player, you know, a very direct player.
He does, and when we're moving forward to Motherwell, and we need to give Abelgaard games, and I says, after the Shakhtar game, I reckon that we needed somebody of Abelgaard's, like, skill set in the middle of the park. And I says that at the end of last season, that was the guy that we actually needed in the middle of the park. If he plays against Motherwell, we're not going to see the best of him because he's not going to get, like, it's not his game. It doesn't seem to be his game of the creative. What we've actually seen him, it doesn't seem to be his game, the creative type of game. So against Motherwell, we're maybe not going to see the best of him. For me, you're giving St Mirren far too much credit, John. And I thought that after it. St Mirren were a team of spanners that we made to look like good spanners because we were terrible on the day. And they done nothing. We created our own problems that day. I'll give teams like compliments when they deserve compliments. I think St Mirren didn't deserve any sort of compliment. I hope they get relegated, actually. just for that, eh? Motherwell will come in and sit in, and it's up to us to actually take the game to them. It's up to Celtic to go and entertain us and play the entertaining games that Ange Postecoglou wants. And I reckon our guys are going to be utterly desperate to go in there and put on a show on Saturday, and I'm looking forward to actually going.
Yeah. I'm positive about the potential outcome here. I don't think that's going to be an issue. Because I think there's too many guys with something to prove going into these European games. They want to be in that team. They want to be in that showcase, in that window, and they want to be proving themselves at the highest possible level. And those two games against Leipzig are as important for us as it gets. So this is your chance to show us, lads. Let's see what you've got.
Definitely. What we'll do, John, is I think that's us done now today, and it's been interesting. We've had somebody in the comments who's definitely been hyperdosing. Then again, well, he's been hyperdosing, but he's been hyperdosing something. And we've had folk talking about sock fetishes in the comments as well, but that was probably my fault.
Right, lads.
I think it was right, lads. That's Wednesday done and dusted. I hope maybe you saw that. That's Wednesday done and dusted, lads. So thanks. Comment, vote for us in the awards. Give us a like. Subscribe and just dinna be bams to each other, even if somebody's slagging Kyogo quite.
Hail, hail.
See you all later.
Message and data rates may apply. Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's BASY to 203203.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for.
Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Fast Twitch, the new energy drink from Gatorade, is here. And it's powering fast starts for athletes in every arena, like NBA All-Star Zion Williamson, WNBA champ Kalia Copper, and MLB superstar Francisco Lindor. With 200 milligrams of caffeine, electrolytes, and zero sugar, Fast Twitch is the new go-to for on-the-go energy anytime you need to turn up the intensity. Available in six refreshing Gatorade-inspired flavors. Grab Fast Twitch in the energy drink aisle at a store near you.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.